this series. This will only be the third week. I'll give you the title of it. And it's called Abraham Believe God. This will be Abraham Believe God Part 3. And, you know, I've just been studying this. The Lord kind of laid it on my heart. And, objection? Let it be known. Yeah. Amen. That's what she's saying. Amen, brother. But the Lord kind of laid it on my heart, and Abraham believed God. What does that mean? So I've just been looking and studying, and I've, you know, instead of just kind of going down through notes, I just wrote some things down here to try to keep on track. I'm just kind of sharing with you what I've been discovered and seeing, because there's always going to be this controversy, it seemed like. And let me give you a scripture here and show you. In 1 Corinthians, we've talked about this before, but 1 Corinthians 1:10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing." That ye all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And if I just look at that verse right there, and I'm not going to decipher that verse, but if I would just look at that verse and I would say, is that verse, when you look at the church, would you say that that verse has been adhered to? I would say it's been butchered. Yeah. I'd say it's been butchered. So what do you do? Well, do you think that people are going to their... and I'm just using this word today, guys, and I understand. I hate to use the terminology going to church, but do you think they're going to their place of worship or their place of gathering knowing that they're wrong? They wouldn't go there if they thought they were wrong. I mean, a Baptist don't get up and drive over to the Catholic place and go in, does he? No, he thinks the Catholics are idiots. The Catholics don't drive over to the Baptist place because they think the Baptists are idiots. So everybody's convinced that they're right. So then who's right? And, you know, I've heard people say, well, who's right? I mean, this was the problem, guys, that the Jews started out in one sense. I mean, and even the Gentiles, because they're coming in and they're saying, I've got this apostle here saying this and this and this. And right behind him, I've got these Jews saying this and this and this. My gosh, who's right? So what they did is they said, ah, here's what we'll do. We'll go ahead and we'll circumcise ourselves. We'll keep the law to the best of our ability. And then we'll let grace come in. All right. So now I've got it all. I've got the law. You know, I heard a guy preaching this morning. If you want to love God, keep his commandments. You know what? I'm going to say to every one of you, if that's the case, you all hate him. Because you do not have the ability to keep one, not one of his commandments. But you see, in our mind and our this self that Patty's talking about, we can convince ourselves and become, and this is even worse than being ignorant. Ignorance can be fixed. Really can, guys. You can work with ignorance. But pride, oh, now we've got, you know, self-righteousness. You know, I mean, we can deal with ignorance, guys. We can deal with ignorance. But, boy, that self-righteousness. Well, I'm right because. And now, how many of you, nobody's got to raise their hand, have really been convinced at a time that the Lord has showed them something or led them this way, and then you just jump into it with both feet and think, maybe it wasn't the Lord that I heard. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but it has me. I've jumped right in. All the Lord has given me this, and I've stood on it. But then, as time went on, and the Lord began to reveal himself, I seen that I wasn't hearing the Lord at all. I was hearing the Lord Jim Moore, if you will. Because I'm telling you what, when you really, really want something, really, really desire something, your mind can convince you that you are absolutely 100% right. So Paul says, speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be in the same mind. And what mind was that? And the same judgment. Now, we've been talking about this on Wednesday. We talked about this a little bit out there. I'm just going to share this with you a little bit. One thing that I think that the church as a whole misses is the purpose of the church. And we've seen on Wednesday night that when the church misses its purpose, that the church is deficient. And let me bring that over into natural terms. When a human being is deficient, bodily so, they are susceptible to catch whatever's coming along. Have you ever known anybody like that who catches every bug and thing? Well, the church, and in other words, they're in a state of weakness. Now, is the church supposed to be in a state of weakness? But here we are, divided, split, all different areas going on. And I'm not saying anything's wrong with this. And I have to be careful how I say this. Because I don't want anybody to take it wrong. But the church thinking their purpose is to have a food pantry. Now, I'm not against food pantry, guys. I'm not against it at all. I'm for it. There shouldn't be any hungry around. We live in a great nation. But it goes far beyond a food pantry. It goes far beyond a Coke ministry, guys. It really does. It's bigger than that. It is so much bigger than that. All those things are needful, guys. Hear me out. They're needful. And I don't know about you guys, and I'll just throw this in now. You guys heard of the controversy that happened at Richland School this past week. Zach was there. Sat beside of people that it happened to. I don't know about you, but your mind and your heart goes in a lot of different directions. If anybody don't know what happened, there were some kids behind in their lunch charges. So while they were eating, orders come down for them to take up their lunch and throw it away. So the cafeteria people went and got people's lunch while they were eating, grabbed it from them, and throwed it away. But needless to say, the next day, the police and about 1,000 citizens showed up at Richlands High School, and our news crew from Richmond to Knoxville was there, and they had a police and all in the auditorium, and it's been happening. But you know, my heart was... And I didn't, but I seen where somebody had put it out there where, and guys, you have all kinds of different scenarios. You do have kids who blow their money, but there are kids who don't have any money and can't pay for their lunch and don't have food. And like Zach said, one of the boys hadn't ate 2 days, got his taken away. Now, you see, if you blanket coverage the whole thing, what do you have? You got a mess. You got a mess. That's what they did. And boom, they had a mess. And, you know, my heart was right out of the gate, man, I would like to go up there and see what that bill is and pay for these kids' lunch. I don't know about you, but you know what I found out? Many anonymous people have already stepped up and wiped that debt out. But you think about that. Was it 4,500? And you know, no kids should be hungry. No kids should be hungry. And I'll take that a step farther. No child of God should be hungry. Now I'm talking about feeding them the Word of God. None of them should be hungry. But I can tell you to death. They are. Clyde, you know it. I want to see them come to a place where they say, where else could we go? You have the words of eternal life. But you see, we got these divisions, and we got all of this, my belief, your belief, your belief. So the Lord laid it on my heart. Abraham believed God. What the heck does that mean? What is a believer? Because until we can come to that conclusion, I'm going to have my belief, you're going to have your belief, and we're going to argue about it, and I'm going to go my way, and you're going to go your way. And we're just be a more split up people. So what does it mean Abraham believed God? Because the scripture tells us, we started this class off, the devils believed. Even the devils, go read in James, the devils believe God. They believe that there's a God. So what do we do? What do we do? Now, I was talking to you about purpose, and I just want to throw this little point out here to you. We just sung that song, Our Father in Heaven. But there's a verse in there that says, Thy kingdom come. Now, I don't know if you guys ever pray that prayer. Now, I'm going to tell you what, guys. That prayer has been answered. You have to be careful when you say that, don't you, Pastor Jack? Because people leave on you. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom. Listen, guys. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. He took away the first that he may establish the second. He did that. Thy kingdom come has been fulfilled. Thy kingdom has come. That kingdom is in you. I want you to understand that. Now, if that be the case, why is it that we have a church world, if you will, who thinks that the earth that we live in, if you will, is a proving ground? Y'all know what I'm talking about, a proving ground? In other words, I'm going to put y'all down here on earth to see if you can prove that you're good enough to come to heaven. That's the whole proven ground process. I'm going to put y'all down here, and those that make it can go here, and those that don't, go there, and earth is a proven ground. And I just got to ask you guys, just about every one of you are parents. Did you ever do that to your kids and say, this is a proven ground, big guy? I know you're 6 years old, but if you don't do right, your honey's out of here. Nobody in their right mind would do that. But yet, that's our mindset. And guys, I'm going to tell you what, I feel the weight of that. I feel the weight because in that, there are those who believe this is a training ground and not the kingdom, and they're trying to prove their righteousness that they may go to this place. Abraham believed God, and it was what? Counted to him for righteousness. Now, it wasn't counted on a fact of works, least it would be attributed to his works. But this was accounted to him. Why? Because he believed. So what did he believe? See, that's the question. What did he believe? Because I believe this and you believe that. Something has to be qualified in that saying, Abraham believed God. And I'm going to tell you what, guys, I don't know about you, but before the Lord began to deal with me, I knew what I believed. And I had all the scriptures to back it up. And every time I went to the Bible to read it, it wasn't to glean anything. It was to further prove what I already believed. And guys, whatever you believe, trust me, whatever you believe, you can find a scripture to back it up. Yeah. I promise you, you can. You want to read about hell? It's all in the Bible. You want to read about heaven? It's all in the Bible. You want to read about the wrath of God? It's in the Bible. The love of God is in the Bible. You can back all of it up with scriptures. So if that is the only case, then where are we left? Split and divided. Because I read this, and you read that. And our mind goes into all these different places. So what does it mean to believe God? Let me just read you some scriptures here. I'm going to start in Romans chapter 2 and verse 14. Paul is making an argument here in Romans. He says, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, now he's talking about the Mosaical law, the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. Now, let me just go right there. They didn't have the law. The Gentiles didn't have the Ten Commandments. They didn't have the precepts of God. They didn't have none of that. But, look what he says. The Gentiles, they do by nature the things contained in the law. What does he mean by that? In other words, they realize by their own nature, you know what, guys, it's not right to kill somebody. It's just not right. It's not right for a guy to covet his neighbor's wife. It's just not right. And so they didn't have those ordinances plastered on everything in their on the refrigerator and in the school parking lots and all that other stuff. But by nature, in other words, by their conscience, now let's take that a step farther, by their natural reasoning, by their natural mind, it became a law unto. In other words, let me say it this way, by their own belief system, because isn't that what your belief system is? The way that you see something, the way that you reason it out, and you are governed by that reasoning. Well, I believe this. Well, I believe, Clyde, that it's okay if I go drink a beer. Well, my religion says, oh, no, I don't think it's okay if you go do that. So, see, then we have a rift. So, in other words, what's it based on? It's based on my reasoning, and it's based on your reasoning. Does God count that righteousness? Is that the reasoning that God counts as righteousness? Because, do you see what I mean? So, Paul's making this argument right here. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness in their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Do you see what he's saying? Their own belief system is what he says is what governs them. Now guys, I'm telling you what, our own belief system is what governs us to this day, every single one of us, because I hear people say, you got to keep the Ten Commandments. You don't have to keep the... Well, I mean, guys, have you ever been in a religious conversation? Well, I believe it's all right to have a glass of wine. Y'all ever been in that? I'm just being real with you. Well, I don't believe it's all right to have a glass. Well, I believe it's all right to go to this movie. Well, this movie's rated R, and I shouldn't go to that movie. Have you guys ever been in any religious conversation? So what governs that? Your belief system. Does God count that belief system as righteousness? Well, God, look at me. I didn't go to the rated R movie. I went home and drank a bottle of wine. You see what I'm saying? When we get into this. Oh, I got my glasses upside down. Now listen. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, the conscience also bearing witness, their thoughts, the means accusing or else excusing one another. And then it says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now, if you'll look here in your Bible, you'll see that verse 13 through verse 15 is in parentheses. So Paul is interjecting a thought there. And this, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men, goes back up to verse 12. It says, for as many have sinned without the law, shall perish without the law. As many as have sinned in the law, shall be judged by the law. Now I'm going to tell you what, guys, this didn't give much hope, did it? Look at that verse. And then he says, in the day when God, let me just read it together as it would be without this interjection. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Do you see how that went together? In the day... Now see, everybody's looking for this day. In the day when he shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Let me tell you what, guys. Overall, this took place at the cross. But you got to look here that Paul is writing after the cross. But he's still kind of referring to this in a future tense. So what are we going to do with that? So this just goes to the naysayers who are claiming another judgment and all these other things, right? Well, I can't explain this. I won't have a vocabulary to explain this. But I can tell you of a truth that this is speaking of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because, guys, I'm going to tell you something. If you have never seen him, and when you do begin to see him, there will be a great, great, great judgment that comes upon you. You won't be able to stand. Guys, I don't know, but when I began to see the Lord, and I'm trying to figure out a way to say this, but it's almost as if, and I don't mean this in a condemnation way, because this must take place for you to be free. This must take place for you to be free. When the Lord began to reveal himself to me, and I began to see him clad for the first time, the first thing I seen was not his glory, but my wretchedness. I began to see me, Lena, for who I really was. And it seemed like every thought, everything I'd ever done was laid out. And I said, my Lord, this, I just couldn't believe that that was me. And I was exposed. And you see, that's what the real judgment is. But then on side of that, I mean, yes, I see woe is me, but then I begin to see his glory. And oh my goodness, I didn't get up from there in condemnation. I got up from there in glory, but my mindset was, man, I have no life but Christ. He is my life. How could I even judge anybody or anything or say anything? I thus judge if one died for all are dead. I didn't have no other conclusion. And see this now, and guys, it wiped out all my belief system. It wiped out everything. So see, Abraham believed God. I wonder what he believed. Things about God. I believe this, I believe that, and this is counted to me for righteousness. I'm going to tell you what, this little experience that I just told you, this is the beginning of this belief system. You just come into this belief system, and this is what Paul is talking about. And let's just go on and read here a little. In the day when he'll judge the secrets of men. And then he says, behold, you're a Jew, and you rest in the law, and makest thou boast of God? Do you see what they're doing here? He said, guys, you got the law, and here's what you do. You've got your own belief system, and what do you do with that belief system? You rest in it. And then what do? You make your boast. And you know what, guys? I'm not pointing fingers at the Jews because I have done this. I have made my boast, rested in my doctrine, boasted that I was right. And therefore, if I'm right, I don't have to say this. You can conclude, if you don't see it my way, therefore you must be wrong. You see what Paul is doing to the Jews here? He's saying, you got the oracles of God. You got the law. You're resting in the law, and you're making your boast of God. That you know his will and approves of things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that thou thyself are a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness. Isn't this something? My God, if we could just get to these people and get them all fixed and corrected. Oh, Lord, send me. I'm your great one. I know it all, you know. You're an instructor of foolish, the instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and the truth in the law. Then he brings this, he says, thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, do you steal? You see what Paul is doing right here? He's making this contrast of these Jews and these Gentiles and their law and their boast and their nature and their conscience and their belief system and all of these things. Let me show you a verse here. Go to Hebrews. Now remember, the law was what it was. I mean, it was according to their consciousness, right? Now look at Hebrews 9:8. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while the first tabernacle was yet standing. The first. There it is, the first. Remember, he takes away the first, that he might establish the second. The first, I mean, this is the thing Patty was talking about. This is the self, the self-thinking, the self-believing, the self-righteousness, all this, the self. And while it is still standing, the second is not made manifest. But look what he says, which was a figure for the time then present. See, that's then present. While that first tabernacle was standing, that was a time then present, while the first tabernacle was standing, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices. Now, guys, I know we throw this out here and we just say, well, it's law. We don't offer gifts and sacrifices anymore. I'm going to give you a big old B word for that. Baloney. We all offer to God our gifts and our sacrifices for our own self-righteousness. We do it, guys. We do it. We present to Him, maybe in subtle terms, but look what I've done for you, God. Look what I've done. Almost expecting a blessing for it. In our own self-righteousness, we can look down on others and say, you know what, God? I know why that they don't know as much about you as I do. Because, God, I read all the time. And, you know, they don't read the scriptures over there. So, you know, I understand why they don't know what I know. What do you want me to do for them, God? I can help them out. You just tell me what you want me to do. You see what I mean, God? And this is just our natural mind. It just jumps in there and starts to take over and look all pretty and offer gifts and sacrifices unto God. But listen to what it says. That could not make him that did the service perfect. None of those offerings and sacrifices can never bring perfection as pertaining to the conscience. Now, isn't that what we said over there a few months ago, that they were being governed by their conscience? Their belief system, guys, that's what it is. It's their belief system. Do you know what the Old Testament word for belief is? Amen, which we get our word amen. And you can go look when that word believe, that's when, you know, we talked about, that's when the Queen of Sheba come and she said she wouldn't believe till she see. And I mean, in other words, she couldn't amen it until she saw it with her own eyes. Now, the New Testament word, and you can look this up, it's 4100 in your Strong's, and it's the word pistos, which is the word faith. When it says that she touched the hem of his garment, and the Lord says, thy faith has made thee whole. It's the same word. He could have said, your belief has made you whole. Your belief has made you whole. And I got to ask you this. Has your belief made you whole? Or are we found wanting? You know, are we found wanting? I just think these are things that we got to look at. Now, Paul's making these. Let me keep on reading back over here in Romans. You see what they're looking for here, guys. They got this law, and they're following this law. And look, go to Romans 3, verse 9. Now, he's making this comparison between the law that was given to them and the Gentiles, which are governed by their conscience. And then in verse 9, what does he say then? Now look, Paul's including himself in this. Are we better than they? They have their law. They have their belief system. These other people don't. but yet they're still governed by their own conscience. Are we better than they? No. I don't know if your Bible says this, but it says in no wise, in no way are we better than them. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. I don't know, guys. Just let that get a hold of you a minute. Jews, in this, you know who the Jews were. All right, let me ask you this. Who's the Gentiles? Everybody else. Now, let's just think about the statement Elaine made. Everybody else. Does that include the Chinese? Does that include the Muslims? Does that include the Antarcticans? I made that word up. Yeah, both Antarcticans. My point is, he's including all in the same condition. Everyone. Now, let me just ask, let me break it down to this. We talked about race. Does this include people who use drugs? Does it include people who don't? You see what I mean? Now, Paul just made the statement, are we in any wise better than any of them? I mean, he says in no wise. And we have proved, Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. This is very important, guys. It's very, very important. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. My Lord and my God. Let me just say this word, none. How much does that include? Now, who are we talking about? Jews and Gentiles. So when he says none understands, do you think he's talking about every Jew and every Gentile? And there is none that seeketh after God. I'm just throwing these out there, guys, because I guess in this part of it, I guess what I'm trying to do is 4th and 20. I'm trying to take your belief and kick it out of the stadium. You see what I mean? I'm just throwing this out there, guys. Now listen, Paul makes these statements, and guys, this series will go on for a while. I mean, they believe a lie and be damned. God sent them strong delusions that they would come in unbelief and all these other things, guys. But I want it to be rooted and grounded in a certain thing. And it ain't about things, but this certain thing is the holy thing, which is Jesus Christ. And I could probably just throw this out there right now and tell you this. And I mean, the scriptures would tell us that these things the natural mind cannot receive. Cannot receive. So I'm gonna show you this, and I'll, hopefully during time we can bring this about. But guys, it's basically this. Whatever you think, throw it out the window. What God has revealed, rest in. Okay, do you see the difference? And let me tell you something. If God has revealed it, you won't have to ask me, well, I think God showed me this. You won't have to ask that later. You will know without a doubt, and you rest in it and everything else. Because as quickly as you begin to see Him, your mind will start to take over. And it'll get in all kinds of different weird stuff. But what God has revealed, and see, we go back to Abraham. Do you know what happened to Abraham, guys? Abraham started out, and I'm just going to throw this out there. Abraham started out, well, do you remember We're coming up out of the flood. And out of the flood, here comes Noah and his three sons, Shem, Japheth, and Ham. And there was another guy who's mentioned right in the mix of this, Nimrod. Nimrod, the scripture says, was a mighty hunter. And right in the mix of all of this, now Paul says, let's don't let there be divisions. Right in the mix of all of this, they said, let us make brick. Let us build us a city. Why? Lest we be scattered. Now see, it's been mine, in the mind of man. See, they counseled one to another. They did. This wasn't God's counsel. They counseled one to another. Let us build us a city. Let us make brick, slime for mortar. Lest we be scattered. And you know, guys, what they did. I mean, do you know what the city of Nineveh was built out of? Brick. Guys, everybody knows the answer to this one. What was the city of Egypt built out of? Brick. Where were they all standing making brick? And I mean, wasn't this the burden that was put on them more and more? That they would have to make more brick and more brick and more brick? Let us build us a city out of these brick. But I'm telling you, the city of God is not made out of brick. It's made out of living stones fit together. No one who does the fitting, and who is the life of those stones. You see the difference, guys? Everything that God does, there's a shadow cast. Man gets in that shadow and tries to do the same things. Do you remember when Moses came before Pharaoh? Moses throwed the staff down. What did the magicians do? Did they not do the same thing? What I'm talking about, guys, is coming because they did this up for a little while until the Lord brought them beyond where they couldn't match that anymore. Now, see, this city that they built, and God went down, and God did what to them? He confounded, because they were all of one speech. And God went down and did what? He confounded their language that they couldn't understand one another. You could spend the rest of your life studying that little verse out right there. And it wouldn't be a life wasted. But I'm going to just throw something out there to you. He confounded their language so that they couldn't communicate with one another. Now I want you to think, guys, who am I talking about here? I'm talking about the ones who came out of the ark, right? Because everybody else was gone. So I'm talking about church people. That's who I'm talking about. Because, I mean, you go read your Bible, I'm talking the descendants of Noah, Ham, and Japheth. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. I'm talking about the descendants in the church here, but they're shut up. He confounded their language, and you know where they are? Shut up. Go read Galatians. Under the law, under their belief system, until when? Until faith or until belief should come. He goes on to tell us that a child differeth, from a servant, though we be heir of all, as long as he's a child. Now he is shut up into his system over here until faith, until belief should come. So they had their beliefs, their natural beliefs, but they were shut up until the belief of Abraham should come. Do you see the difference here that I'm trying to point? It's not about reading a scripture and say, well, Patty, I think this scripture means this. Well, I think it means this. Let me tell you something. If it hasn't been revealed, then we ain't going to get a hold of it anyway. Now see, remember that verse Paul said, in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now let me just keep on reading this. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, none that seeketh after that seeketh after God. Now look at verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin. Let me back up. Let me back up here in verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. For what purpose? See, guys, I'm telling you, Paul gives us the purpose of this law here that was given. That every mouth may be stopped. Listen to that. This is coming from the Apostle Paul. He said, let me read it again, guys. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Now we're talking of Mosaic law, but we're talking the Ten Commandments here. We're talking all of this. Why? Guys, how many people out there right now are trying to propagate the Ten Commandments everywhere? Just like I heard this morning, you got to keep the commandments. If you want to love God, keep my commandments. That's Scripture. I can give it to you. If you love me, keep my commandments. It's Scripture. But maybe we don't understand and we try to interject our natural mind into this thing. But Paul says, here is the purpose of this law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. But what has it produced? Self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. The law's purpose, guys, is so that when you begin to really see it, you see the effects of it, you become like Peter in the boat and say, depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. You become like Isaiah. Woe is me. You become as John in the book of Revelation. I fell on my face as dead. You become as Ezekiel, and the Lord has to lift you up by the hair of the head. You become as Moses, and you fall down on your face. You become as all of them. This is the true outpouring of the law. But what has law produced? Self-righteousness. More standards. You know, the Lord even told them, and the apostles told them, he says, you know what? You're trying to put on them something that you couldn't even bear. And you're trying to put it on them. See, this is what I'm telling you guys. There's a hungry, burdened down, broke down people out there hungry for Jesus Christ. And they're being fed all the wrong stuff under the guise of belief. And they're not being fed Jesus. Guys, he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life. Now, listen. He didn't say, except you keep my commandments and you be good and you pay everybody's lunch bill and you do this and you do that, you have no life. And one of these days I'll be this. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. Now, look. Let me keep on reading. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law was manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith, or we could throw that word in there, belief of what? Jesus Christ. Unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is Jesus Christ. See, guys, now this is not just believing that Jesus was a man 2,000 years ago and walked the earth. That belief won't do nothing for you. I'm talking, there's more to it. There's more to it. And see, what I'm saying, what Paul got. Paul on the road to Damascus, it was revealed to him, Jesus is Lord. And you know what? Out of that revelation, Paul concluded the Jews and the Gentiles in the same boat. Where is boasting then? Are we better than them? Absolutely not. Paul said, of the same mind, let this mind be in you. That's the mind he's talking about. What mind is that? That's the mind of Christ Jesus. And what mind is that? Who can... Guys, I want you to think, he became obedient. even to death, even the death of the cross. And what judgment? What judgment did Paul live under? My God, nobody's better than anybody. We've all been judged. And we've been judged dead, guilty, and have received just punishment in the cross. Now, I have no life but Christ. Now see, oh, what a church that we could be if we could come into this same mind and this same church. Well, what do you think about this? And see, that way, guys, do you think everybody believed the same thing? Guys, they got in scriptures and they studied scriptures and they looked at scriptures and they'd say, well, I think this is Moses and I think this and this one. And they would go, but they wouldn't split over it because they realized until the Lord revealed himself in those verses, they were merely speculating. And their prayer became, Father, reveal your son. But see, now we get everybody in. Guys, I don't know about you, but I've been in all kinds of church meetings. I've been in all kinds of things. And everybody that gets up, speaks, has to qualify their statement. And they say, well, you know, Clyde, I believe the Lord has told me to tell you. You know what? The Lord has led me. You know, I'm going to get some lead and put it in my pocket. Every time somebody says, I feel led of the Lord, I'm going to give them that lead. And say, this is how led of the Lord you really are. You know, Paul was saying, you've never seen his face or heard his voice at any time. You're listening to your own mind. And guys, your own mind is very subtle. Very subtle, very tricky. Talk you into anything. Look at verse 25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. Because guys, what were they doing with their belief system? They were all offering sacrifices to God for their own justification, to try to seek their own righteousness. Because, guys, we know this is a great God. And how can we go before him without being righteousness? And thank goodness he gave us a law that we could do to prove my worth. I'm going to do these, God, and go stand before you and say, look what I've did. But see, the believer says, none of that. I'm talking a real believer. A real believer says, none of that can do it. None of that. What I believe, only in whom? Because I see he only is righteous. And he only has been given to me. My God, when God looks at my righteousness, he doesn't even look at me, Patty. He looks at the righteousness of God, which is Christ Jesus. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just. Who? Just. And what? The justifier of him which does what? Believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Or by the law of belief. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith or by belief without the deeds of the law. Well, that's for me. I've told them not to call me here. Listen, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, the Gentiles. Is also seeing it as one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has failed. If Abraham was justified by works, he wherewith or whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, just let me show you something here. And I don't want to go through all those verses. But if you'll go read those verses, you'll find out when Abraham believe God, it was counted to him from righteousness. It was before circumcision. Why so? That he might be the father of them that believe, of not only Jews, but Gentiles. That's why it was done before he was even given the seal of circumcision. Now, none of these may sound boring points, but let me just keep on going there. Let me see where I'm at. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him who he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope. And we're talking Abraham, who against hope. You know what? I mean, go read the 15th chapter of Genesis and you'll see. Abraham says, God, you've appeared unto me. You've showed me all these things. As a matter of fact, you just delivered me. I've just met Melchizedek. I've went and got the 318 guys or whoever they were that was in captivity. I've got, and I see all that. But you know what? God, I don't know if you understand this, but I don't have a son. I've got this servant, Eliezer, that lives in my house. And you know, he's a good guy. He's a good guy, but I don't have a son, God, and I just want you to know that. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. And the Lord came down and told him all these things. And the scripture says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. And listen to what he says. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Now, do you see what he's saying? He considered not his own body. I wonder why. Because he's got another body in view. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, or strong in belief, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. Now, guys, what are we talking about here? He's wanting an heir. But let me just throw something out, fully persuaded. When you, just listen to me here, are fully persuaded, fully persuaded that Christ Jesus is your righteousness, you'll quit trying to work for this thing and you will begin to enter into his rest. Are you listening to what I'm saying? When you're fully persuaded that he is, because guys, I'm telling you what, every time something comes to try to bring condemnation upon you, it'll try you to see if you're in this rest or if this is something you need to do to even this. I mean, here's the other subtleties that, well, I know Christ made me righteous. Now it's up to me to maintain it. But see, Abraham was fully persuaded. Staggered not at the promise through unbelief. Giving glory to God, fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it is not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Do you see this? Fully persuaded that he was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Therefore, being justified, fully persuaded by faith, what happens? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Guys, the reason I know that this has been on my mind so much is because I see people, maybe not you guys so much, in the deep uproar of their own soul, trying to be pleasing to God, trying to keep those commandments, trying, working, doing whatever they can. Guys, have you heard this? Have you heard how mad God is? Mm-hmm. I'm just asking you, have you guys heard any of that stuff? Am I the only one? Heard how mad God is? Well, then who has peace? Because I'm going to tell you what, if I'm mad at Clyde, me and Clyde ain't got peace. And I'm just waiting on an opportunity. You see, isn't that what they're saying right now, all of them? God is mad. And guys, have you ever gone to bed mad? Sinners. Says don't do that. I'm going to have to get some more verses. Y'all are all going to hell. Let me ask you this. When you go to bed angry, do you rest well?
No.
Oh, you don't. You know you don't. So here's God, and Paul is saying, peace with God. Peace. That means, just in a nutshell, no anger, right? Peace with God. Through how? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. But yet we got a whole bunch of people out here who believe in an angry God, who are preaching an angry God, who are making the people come out of a place of arrest that's provided for them, to come out here and do something. Why? Because they don't believe God is really satisfied with His righteousness. I mean, God is looking for righteousness. And He found it in His Son, Jesus Christ. And in that Son, you have peace. And you've been justified. And all of these things. But yet, we're still over here. I mean, if we're fully persuaded of this, then God in no way could be angry. He could no way be angry. Why? Because if He was seeking righteousness, He's found it. What else is there to seek? I mean, if I'm looking for $20, once I find $20, the search is over. I have found what I'm looking for. If God was seeking righteousness and He got it in His Son, search is over, Lena. I'm satisfied. I'm at peace. And He's sitting there at peace and rest, looking at this, at His blessed Son in righteousness and justified. And He says, this was made unto you, that very same thing. If you will come into this, you're never, ever going to attain it. Never will you attain it. But by the grace of God, it's given freely to you. Do you understand that? But here's the belief part. You got to believe that you can never attain it and receive it as a gift. My God, we've been trying to work for it our whole lives in subtle ways, but it always pertaining to the consciousness, we could never do it. Let me show you something here, guys. And I'm gonna get out of your way. I just got to show you something here. 2 Timothy, this may be off the beaten path. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Now, and Paul makes this statement. He's talking to Timothy here. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Uh-oh. Now, here's where your belief system comes in. I just want to give you an example. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So now what I've got to do, I've got to go out and find iniquity so I can depart from it. Right? I mean, so now it's going to take a good preacher to say, oh, okay, you know, a striped shirt is iniquity. And you got to depart from that. So you can't wear striped shirts anymore. And Tim, same thing. He's got a striped shirt. Gray is the color. You see what I'm talking about, guys? So what does it mean to depart from iniquity? Now go ask any preacher, and they're all going to give you their belief system. And what is their belief system going to do? It's going to produce bondage and condemnation. Because either you're going to say, because some preacher's going to say, you know, Lena, your hair's too short. You can't be that way here. Right? And then you're either going to say, I don't believe that, or you're going to live in condemnation till it grows out. So we're departing from iniquity. So what does it mean to depart from iniquity, guys? And let me tell you something. Do you believe that you can do this by willpower? Let me just say something. And you know, I was listening to our talk here before the... I mean, guys, and we say this is big, but you can't quit smoking on your own willpower. You do realize that. Let me tell you something else, guys. I'm just going to throw this out there. You can't quit Lifesavers on your own willpower. You don't believe me? How many of you guys have started a diet? Right? It does not work. So if I throw my willpower in this verse, depart from iniquity, and I say, okay, guys, I got it. Now I'm going to use my willpower, and I'm going to depart from iniquity. Paul said, the good that I would do, that I would do. This ain't about your willpower. And guys, I want to tell you, don't believe in your willpower. Your willpower will always fail you.
Right.
Do we not have the beginning of the year, the New Year's resolutions? How long do they last? You know, guys, and I have chewed tobacco for almost
7 years.
Preachers ain't supposed to tell you this stuff, but it's been a long time, Elaine, a long time. 30 plus years. Do you know how many times I've quit? Every day, Elaine, this is it. This last one, Elaine. This last one, I'm not going to do it anymore. Boy. I'm just telling you the truth. You know, I'm just telling you the truth. It ain't about my willpower, guys. I have fought that willpower and fought it and fought it and fought it. I'm going to tell you what, guys, I can't quit Pop-Tarts.
Or Reese's Cups.
I can't. I go into the store and it's been 3 weeks until I seen them eggs yesterday and I had to get a double pack. You know what my excuse was? Zach will want one. And I'll get the other one. You see, willpower. So depart from iniquity. You see what I'm saying, guys? So if we bring our belief system into this thing, guys, we're going to be all messed up. Well, let me just throw you something out here. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let me go show you something here, guys, and I'll be done. Go to Numbers. Y'all remember Numbers, Balaam and Balak? Now Balak, he's a guy, he don't like Israel, and so he's gonna hire this guy Balaam to go curse him. All right. So Balaam, he goes up on the hill, and look what he says. And he took up this parable and said to Balak, the king of Moab. You know, he goes up on this hill, guys, and he's looking down in the valley, and he sees Israel. And he sees Israel. And there in the midst, guys, I don't have a big picture of it, but their tribes were set in a certain place around the tabernacle. And he sees Ephraim, and he sees Judah, and he sees Manasseh, and he sees them all sitting around the tabernacle. Now, Balak says, I want you to go up there and curse them. And he goes up, and he takes up this parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram, out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. And he says, how shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks. Now, who's he looking down at? He's looking down at Israel. He's looking down at the 12 tribes. He's looking down at the tabernacle. He's looking down at millions of people. And you know what he says? For from the top of the rocks I see him. I mean, it's right there. And from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned amongst the nation. He goes up on this mountain, guys, and he looks down, and he's not seeing a people, a tabernacle. He's seeing him. He's seeing one. And he said, how can I curse? Now, Paul started out saying, I don't want any divisions among you. I don't want you and you and you. I want to be able to see one. Now, Paul says over here to Timothy, I want you to depart from this iniquity. And we think this is the something that we have to do. But look what else he says. Again, verse 18, and he took up this parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear, hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie. I want you to think about that. God is not a man that he should lie. Do you think God was lying when he had found righteousness in his son and accounted that to Abraham? Was he lying? God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. God is looking down at them, and he's not a man that he should lie. And what does he see? He does not see iniquity in Jacob. He's asking you to depart from iniquity. What is he saying? Do you understand what he's saying here, guys? It's not about willpower, it's not about do's, and it's not about don'ts. It's about getting a different view. Getting a different perspective. Coming into this. Look what he says. Neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. And the shout of a king is among them. Let me read you something else right here. Numbers chapter 24. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not as at other times to seek for enchantments, but he set his face towards the wilderness. Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel abiding in tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. You see what he's doing there? He's seeing them. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, and it falling, you'll see, into a trance, is not in there, it was added, this man fell, but having his eyes open. What that means is, guys, he had his eyes shut. In other words, he had his natural eyes shut. What did his natural eyes behold? Iniquity. But he had his spiritual eyes open. And what did he see? How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. Thy valleys are spread forth, the gardens, the rivers, the trees. He begins to see all of it. Is he seeing perverseness in Israel? Is he seeing iniquity? And he tells you to depart from iniquity. This ain't about willpower, do's and don'ts. This is about getting a different view. This is about getting a view of the finished work in Jesus Christ. This is about getting a view of his righteousness, of his justification. Depart from all that these natural eyes see, and behold, God himself has not beheld iniquity in Jacob. You know what that means? God has not beheld iniquity in you. Why? Because he has beheld his righteousness. Abraham believed that and rested in that righteousness. My Lord, do you see how much people are hungry? People need to hear. People need to come into this thing. I just think of the condemnation that people will have upon them this very day. Thinking of trying to start something in their own willpower. And I don't know if Elaine's ever felt this. I'll just bet Elaine has tried to quit smoking before and failed. Because I've tried to quit and failed. And you know what? It'll bring a condemnation to you. It really will. Because you think, my God, I can't even quit this. And how good of a Christian can I be? And I'm a smoker. And I have to go hide out here and smoke over here and do all this and do all this and all this. And you bring condemnation on yourself. You know why I'm going through this lesson? If you go read John chapter 8, you'll see that the believers followed him. And Jesus turned to the believers, to those that followed. And the truth will make you free. And guys, that's what life does. It makes you free. And guys, that's what I want, Elaine. I want freedom. I want freedom. That's kind of why, guys, I'm standing here in blue jeans today, because blue jeans is what I wear. You know how many times I've dressed up to come to church? And just had to get up and do something. I said, man, this is just me. Can I go in there and not worry about what you think and understand that we're all in the same boat, all dead in trespasses and sin, but God still yet hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob? Do you really believe that? Can you come in this freedom and walk in this freedom and this liberty wherewith he hath provided in his blessed Son? How many walk in that liberty? Very few walk in that liberty. Now, there's a reason that we're here, is to bring forth this, that his Son may fill the whole earth and be all in it all, guys. All in it all.